Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who, then, are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles.
The subject of guidance is a vast subject, and you can spend many, many sermons speaking on guidance. I know I've done many series on guidance, and every time I've looked at guidance, I've come out with something different. I've thought of something different, and God has placed on my heart something different. Really, guidance is listening to what God has to say to us, listening to him. The story is told of a man, and you'll understand this, ladies, and men will understand it as well. And this man keeps on asking his wife a question, and she doesn't answer him. You know the situation, and they just sort of, you think they're deaf. And he's getting really worried about his wife, and he thinks, I wonder whether she's going deaf. He said, I'm going to test it, and he thought, I'll test it. And there she was in the kitchen, she was washing the dishes, so he stands by the door in the kitchen, and he whispers, darling, have you seen my glasses? And she doesn't answer him. So he goes nearer to her, and he says, darling, have you seen my glasses? Still no answer. So he goes right behind her and he says, darling, have you seen my glasses? And she turns and she says, I've answered you three times. Aren't you listening to me? Now, in some ways, that's like us, isn't it? We ask God questions and we think he's deaf. He's not listening to us. But perhaps he answers us, and we're not listening. We're not listening. Or if we are listening, we're not taking any notice of him. Guidance is a vast subject. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things about guidance and a lot of things written about guidance in this present age. And some people have got some very weird ideas about guidance. Yeah, I don't know whether you heard this. There was a story of a woman who was really wanting to seek the will of God. And she knew that she had to turn to her Bible to find the will of God. So she tried the potluck method of guidance. So she gets her Bible and she closes her eyes and opens it and goes and puts her finger down. And she reads, Judas went out and hung himself. And she thought, well, this can't be right. I can't get guidance from that. No, I've got to try something else. So she closes her eyes again, opens the Bible, and she goes, go do you likewise. That's not guidance, is it? It's not guidance. But a lot of people are looking on guidance in that way. They think it's like, almost like a little bit of potluck. But the subject of guidance isn't potluck. If we're to seek the real guidance of God for the major decisions of our life, we certainly need to have clarity in our thinking. I'm sure that when you go shopping, ladies and gentlemen, and you go into your supermarket, I'm sure you don't stand by the toothpaste stand and you say, Lord, which toothpaste should I have? It doesn't matter, does it? You may have Signal and another one may have some other toothpaste. It doesn't affect your guidance. That's the little things of life. What we want guidance on are the major things of life, our road and our routes. The road that we're on and the route we are taking. Decisions which concern our direction and journey, either in our career, in our relationships, in our locations, in our homes, which church we join. These are the journeys of life. These big decisions that we need to make in our lives. And so often, these are decisions that are hard to come by. You know, when we were younger, it was the decision of what job we would go for and where we should go for our job. What sort of job do I want? Where should I go for my job? And we use that as a decision. I want to give you three basic foundation principles with guidance. Three very basic foundational principles. And they're found in Psalm 25 and verse 4 and 5 that was read to us earlier on. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. And there are three things. He says this: teach me, or show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me or guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you alone are the God of my salvation. Three basic principles. Basic principles that if we followed them, then those principles would lead us into what guidance is all about. Show me your way, O Lord. The first principle in guidance is that we need to clear the decks and identify and dispose of all the wrong desires, attitudes, and motives. We can use lots of illustrations about this. You know, a person may think to themselves, a young person may think, I want a career. And what do they want a career in? Well, I want to go into the brewing business. I want to make loads of beer. I want to work in a betting office because I'm going to earn lots of money. That's an extreme. But we need to clear the decks. We want to know what is God's will for our lives and not our will. David actually says there earlier on, he says, don't remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. And one of the problems we have with guidance is that often it's our rebellious ways that prevent us being guided properly. I'll give you an example of this. When I was younger, I started work as an electrician. I was a spark. I was an apprentice electrician. And when I became Christian, and when I was converted, when I was saved, I still loved being an electrician. I could earn lots of money as an electrician. I could identify the sort of things that I could do with a load of money, and I could justify what I was doing by being an electrician. And then, as it's strange as it may happen, I gradually had a call from God to go into the ministry. And in those days, I was in a thing called the Brethren. And those of you may not know anything about the Brethren, but I was a Brethren man. And in those days they had the oversight, the brethren, which is the leadership. And they called me to one side and I thought, hello, I'm in trouble, because I was a bit of a rebel in those days. And they said, you know, we've watched you, Kingsley. We really believe that God has called you to full-time service, to do work for him. Anyway, cut a long story short, they made me do open-air work in the West End, told me to do open-air preaching in the West End around Soho, and I did a lot of that. Then I worked with drug addicts and alcoholics overnight. And eventually, they eventually said to me, you really need to go into the ministry, you need to go into full-time. And they encouraged me to go into either what was called the Echoes of Service, which would have been a missionary, or to go into the London City Mission. And I chose the London City Mission. I'm going round the houses, but I'll tell you why I'm going this way. I'd been in the mission a few, I suppose about a year and a half, and they put me with a trainer. And old Mr. Hutchinson, he was an old man. He wasn't actually, he was younger than I am now, but I thought he was an old man in those days. And I was 22 years old. I wanted the world saved. I wanted to do this. And I had all this energy. And Mr. Hutchins used to go around with his tie and collar on and his jacket, and he would walk slowly, and he was very methodical. And I was wanting to go ahead, very methodical. And I thought, I can't take this. I've got to get out of it. And I remember a person coming over from New Zealand, and they said, you know, we've been praying about you in the ministry, and they've got a verse for you. He that goes forth weeping, bearing the precious seeds, shall doubtless return again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. In other words, God's got to work for you. And no matter what, that's what we work. Well, cut long story, that verse came over to me again and again and again. And there were times in my ministry, in the early days, where I wanted to get out. And every time I wanted to get out, God gave me that verse. And it was almost like saying to me, you may want to go back to your old way of life. You may want to go back to earning money and being successful in that area. But I want you in that ministry. That's where I want you. And in some ways, that's the clearing of the decks. And often, God's ways are not our ways. And we need to get rid of this idea of what we want. It's what he wants. And that often opposes what we think. So clear the decks. Show me your ways, O Lord, not my ways. Clear my eyes so I don't see just what I want to do, but I see what you want to do. That's the first thing. Psalm 25 shows this, and he calls to mind his weakness, his vulnerability. And he says, I want to, don't fall into foolishness on failure. I want God to do a work with me. So often when we come to guidance, we want God to rubber stamp what we've already decided. I've decided I want to do this. Right, Lord, can you bless me in this? Right, you got the rubber stamp, you can get on with it. That's not how God works. That is not how God works. Show me your way. And so I would say, if you really want guidance from God, there is a sense in which you need to clear the decks. Get rid of all those thoughts of what you want to do and say, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? And forget the excuses. I used every excuse under the sun. I used the excuse that I wasn't intelligent enough. I used the excuse that I'd been such a bad boy that I wouldn't be used. I used the excuse, every excuse I could make, I made the excuse of not going into the ministry. And yet God brought me that way. And I would say, that is God clearing the decks. Show me your ways. The second thing, he says, teach me your paths. Teach me your paths. What the second principle is this. Not only do we want to know what God wants for us, show me your ways, but he also says, teach me your paths. There is a sense in which we need to be very clear in what God is saying to us. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the second thing with guidance is this. We need to see, we need to be taught what God sees in us. We need him to teach us what to do. We need that teaching that stops the pride. You know, none of us like to be told what to do. At least I didn't. You would more likely do, but I didn't. I hate being told what to do. I really do. Get angry with my wife when she tells me, really angry with her wife. You know, I'm doing something in the garden. She, don't do it like that. You know, you shouldn't do it like that. Teach me your will. We need to be taught. And that's why we come to church. That's why God has given us leaders and teachers and elders and deacons. People who can give us that good advice. Able to draw alongside us and say, that's what God wants for you. And they bring to the scripture to bear. And they bring the scripture to light. And that can happen on a Sunday. It can happen during the week when you're doing your own Bible study, when you're doing your own devotions with God, and suddenly a verse comes to light, and it's almost as if God is saying something to you personally, and you think, where does that come from? Because he is teaching you the paths of righteousness. There are many snares that the devil puts in front of us, and that's why the light needs to be onto our pathway. So when you seek guidance, ask God to teach you his paths. And we never grow too old for that. We never get to the stage where we can say we don't need teaching. There is so much that God can teach us. So many new things that God has planned for us. And he needs to teach us those things. And so listen carefully to his word. Read his word. Pray that God will really teach you, give you that word. And I tell you this, the interesting part about it, God will confirm it. In the teaching, he will confirm it. And you think, that's just for me. That's just right at this time. You know, there used to be a hymn that used to say, sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. And William Cowper, when he wrote those words, he was talking about guidance. Those times when it suddenly a light shines and you think, that's just what God wants for me. It's just what God wants for me. And that's what he says. So teach me your paths. And then finally, guide me in your truths. That times there may be a time when you really, the future seems to be indecisive. It seems that you get to a stage where you don't know which way to go, and you can justify it by scripture. You can make scripture agree with both ways. What do you do in those situations? Well, you're guided in all truth. I liked the idea years ago, and it doesn't happen so much nowadays, where the elders of the church, the older people, could instruct the younger people, and the younger people could encourage the older people. And there is a sense in which the principle number three is to be guided in all truth. And you may have got to the stage in your situation where you think, I've got two situations here. I've got a choice. I can go this way or I can go that way. And I don't know which way is right and which way is wrong. Both seem fine. It seems that both paths won't snare me, but which one do I take? That's when you seek the advice of older brothers and sisters and say, look, I've got a real issue at this time. Can you help me? And they sit down and they talk it through with you. And often that's when God enlightens you in that way. So guidance isn't an easy subject. It's never, ever easy. But you can use it. If you're suffering this morning and you're going through those periods where you just don't know what God has got in store for you, pray and use the principle and say, show me your ways. Show me your ways. Clear the decks. Just enlighten me. Open my eyes. Then secondly, teach me your paths. Listen to what speakers say to you. Listen to the scripture. Listen to friends. Teach me your paths. Say, is this going to encourage me to live for God? Is it going to have an effect on the church? Is it going to have an effect on everybody? Is it going to have an effect on evangelism in teaching people the things of God? And thirdly, guide me in your truth. In other words, open the doors. Open that door and you walk through it. And you say, that is the way that God leads me. And Jeremiah, in 29 verse 11, says these words, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. May you really know over this coming weeks the guidance of God. May you really follow these three principles. And when you follow these three principles, that door will be open. You ask, you seek, you find. That door will be opened and God will have an amazing future ahead for you, whether you're young or whether you're old. And I'm sure that if we had a time of testimony at the moment where we got people to give a testimony, they could stand up and they could tell you of when that happened to them and that God guided them in a way that they didn't expect it. Well, may the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do guide us in all ways. We pray that we may use these principles this week and that we may know your blessing upon us. And so as we part, we ask that you will be with us, guide us, keep us, heal us, restore us, and that as we go from here, we may know your eternal blessing being upon us. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.